Oh, hello, and welcome to Adente Rigor Mortis. I am Review Cultist.
I'm Mikey, the E stands for evil.
And I'm the gamer in yellow.
And we're here to discuss those internet stories, most creepy and most pasta, and be critically silly doing it. Tonight we have The Gristers. So, The Gristers is by an unknown author. I believe it was originally posted on one of the X threads of 4chan way back when. But it has since been archived on creepypasta.wiki, which is where we have acquired it to read. So, and yeah, before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's give our initial recommendations. I'm going to conditionally recommend it, and you will find out why after.
I am not going to recommend this.
Okay.
We'll give it a partial for now.
Interesting. Well, let's find out why exactly we gave those initial recommendations and see if that changes over the course of this discussion. Starting with the rundown, featuring The Rock. not really. I'm going to use Nair.
Yeah, sure.
Because we don't get a name. So, So Nair is sending this out to Xthread on 4chan or any other online place it comes across as a warning to not read creepypastas or consume horror media in general, really. The reason for this is because about a year ago, while reading creepypastas late at night and getting a bit spooked, a small pale humanoid appeared in their apartment and skittered about before going down the drain. After that, they couldn't stop seeing these little creatures everywhere and with varying sizes. He went online and brought it up on 4chan, and it was summarily dismissed by all save for one guy named John. John had also seen these creatures and called them the titular Gristers, which was potentially derived from the meme of the grifter, but then the name just stuck to Gristers. And for a while, they kept in touch, monitoring the Gristers' behaviors. For the most part, these creatures were non-aggressive, simply just being there out in the world around Nair and John, and them being the only ones that can see them or even notice them. Like these creatures could even like camouflage. It seems almost like one was spotted as walking around a park, and people were just like treating it as if it was a dog, but Nair saw it as one of these creepy pale humanoid creatures. But then one day Nair was passing a dilapidated brick house and spotted a large number of these creatures next to a much larger moaning grister in the alley next to the house. Nair had been wanting to take a photo as evidence of these creatures, but they had always been too quick when he pulled out his camera. So seeing that there was a massive slow one there as an opportunity, he did take a picture of it and immediately regretted it. The creatures all turned and glared at him, and he just noped the fuck out of there. He was going to post the picture, but John, who he had sent the photo first, got hold of him and told him not to do it. Apparently, the gristers near John had been getting more and more aggressive toward him, and he figured out it was probably because they didn't like all the attention they were getting from the people that could see them. Eventually, Nair discovers that John had committed suicide and that the house where he had taken the photo had at the time been the use of a horrid torture and rape dungeon by some psycho. And this is when Nair began postulating that the gristers actually feed on fear, as the survivors of that horrid place had supposedly been hallucinating little people, and just given the amount of gristers and their behavior near the building, it sort of all added up to them. After all, he had been getting spooked by creepypastas when he first encountered the gristers. So, the creatures soon became hostile to Nair, and he realized that maybe John hadn't actually committed suicide, but these things had been responsible for that. And now Nair would soon meet a similar fate. That's why he wrote this story or this this account and is posting it online to warn about getting scared and reading creepypastas, or the Gristers will get you. Finn. So that was the basically the gist of the Gristers. But I suppose now we shall move on to everyone tolerates the Grim Inquisitions. At this point, I've got a number of them.
Okay.
So I'll start with this one here. Okay, X, comma, or whatever creepy board this makes it its way onto. I put it here because I thought it'd get to the most people to whom it was relevant. So on and to should probably be combined to be onto. But more importantly, I think, is right after onto, there should be a comma to kind of like help break up the sentence a little bit, or so you like at least have like a small break.
Yeah, because right now it makes its way onto I put it there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'll move on to the next thing I have. About a year ago, I was up at 3 a.m. You know, that part of the night where you're so deep into it, it feels like it will never end. So I feel like there should be a semicolon. Thanks, Jess. Or a period where the comma is after morning, and then place that comma between the two it's near the end. So it should be about a year ago, I was up at 3 a.m, semicolon. You know, that part of the night where you're so deep into it, comma, it feels like it will never end.
I don't know if you need that extra comma at the end, but the rest of it, yeah.
For me, it's like, I don't know, it just seemed like there need to be some kind of a break, because it was just basically saying, so deep into it, it feels like it will never end. Like
that's
there's a lot of, it needs a comma to break up those two it's.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Or just change the it to something else.
Yeah, that's also true. Like, there's three it's, like, two words apart from each other in that, at the end of that sentence, so. I just don't know what you'd replace it with. Like, maybe like you're so deep into the shit, it feels like it will never end. I don't know. Like
the night.
It's, yeah, maybe referring like that
to it being late at night.
Yeah. And how like, and like, I get what they're saying. Cause it's like when you're late at night and like, you're too awake at, it's too late at night that you're, yeah, but you're still too awake to be going to sleep kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or like it's already like too late. You might as well just stay awake kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'll move on to the next thing I have. My bedroom door opens up onto the kitchen. I think it should be my bedroom door opens up into the kitchen.
Potato, potato.
I to me, like onto it, like it's more like my bedroom door opens up onto the deck. Like it goes onto outside. Whereas onto the kitchen, for me, that like into the kitchen makes more sense for like an interior setting.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Works either way for me, but if it makes more sense that way for both of you, then I suppose that's the right way.
Fair enough.
Majority rules.
Okay. I'll move on to the next one I have. It was pitch black, the moonlight gleaming off the linoleum. Feel like it should say, it was pitch black, save for the moonlight gleaming off the linoleum.
Yeah, I guess.
Because yeah. It was pitch black. The moonlight, wait.
Yeah, I have that in an actual thought, because it's just, yeah, it's like, there's no light, but there was light. But yeah. What?
Yeah, it definitely, like, one word would save that entirely. From a bunch of chuckle fucks critiquing it online. But I'll move on to the next thing I have. I strained my ears and listened. Period. I heard nothing. Period. So maybe take these two sentences and combine them, and then just have that period in the middle there, like, I strained my ears and listened. Ellipses. I heard nothing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest.
Yeah. There's a couple of times in the story where I'm like, I understand that you're using the punctuation. In fact, actually, my next thing is coming up for that. So my next thing is I throw the shower Kutrain open.
Sorry?
I think it needs to be, or Kutrain. So I think it should be, it obviously needs to be, I throw the shower curtain open. And also, this whole section, like around this sentence as well, and this is what I was getting at just a minute ago, there's just a lot of really short, poignant sentences, like often only one word. And clearly, this jot form writing is for punctuation, or it's for punctuating the character's survey of the area that he's like looking around in and such. Though perhaps some merging of these short sentences with like commas or ellipses could be just as effective rather than constantly having just these like super jot form like periods everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll move on to the next thing I have. I was about to go back to bed when I thonked on a whim to use my broom to poke behind the toilet between the wall and the base of the seat. So just simple mistake. But I think it should be, when I thought on a whim.
You've never thonked before?
I never thonked.
I thonked all the time.
I thonked on a whim.
Yeah.
But I'll move on to the next thing. It wasn't anything special, and it didn't even get that many responses before falling of the boards. So it should be before falling off the boards. So just missing that one F there. And the next one. He had no idea what the were, and he hadn't figured out their behavior yet. So obviously it's just missing a Y there. So it should be, he had no idea what they were.
Mm-hmm.
And my next one. What made me decide to investigate? I don't know, period. No, I don't know, period. Morbid curiosity, period. So it's just like, it's answering, like, first off, you're answering the question, which I don't think you really want to answer that question. Like what? So I feel like it should actually read more like this. What made me decide to investigate? Question mark. I don't know, comma. Morbid curiosity? Question mark. Like, just to kind of give
a question marked out.
No, it was both period. There's like, I don't know, period. Morbid curiosity, period.
So, yeah, it should definitely be question mark.
Yeah. And then my next one here, this is the second last one I have. I didn't notice any behavior changes. I didn't notice any behavior change right away. I feel like maybe it should be, I didn't notice any behavioral change right away.
Changes.
Behavioral changes, I'd even accept too. Like just
any change in their behavior.
Yeah, you could do that as well. Just as is, it doesn't really read well. And the next one, my last one. I was beginning to think that John's problem was his own thing, and that the Gristers didn't know or didn't care that I could see them. So that first thing there should actually be a think. I was beginning to think that John's problem was his own thing.
Yes.
And that is the end of my grammar inquisition. So, Mikey, the East stands for evil. What have you got?
Well, I did well, so all that I have left is the conjunction junction.
Ooh. And next stop, conjunction junction. Doot, doot.
But, well, let me explain. But then I glance on my bed, and my cat is there. It was pitch black, the moonlight glimmering off the linoleum. It was just random house noises, right? Or maybe a fucking mouse in the walls. And I saw something scatter across the linoleum in the kitchen, heading for the bathroom. It was small, but it was definitely not a rat. And the way it moved quickly, but so awkwardly. So, you know, I basically freeze for like 10 minutes. It was the size of the thing that convinced me to move. It couldn't have been that dangerous, right? So I pop open the bathroom door. It definitely had four limbs. Maybe it was a big-ass spider who had lost four of its legs somehow. It was good enough for me. It looked like a tiny human. It was pale white, pale as a maggot, with dirty gray streaks running along its skin. It moved on all fours with long, thin fingers that grasped the ground. Its skull was completely bald and it had no eyes, and the skin looked like it had been torn away from the lower half of its face, leaving the exposed teeth and gums. It looked up at me, well, pointed its face in my general direction anyway, and then scurried quick as fuck up the side of the bath and down into the drain. It moved in quick bursts, like a spider, and climbed straight up smooth surfaces like one too. Or even tell any of my friends. It's not like they'd believe me. So what did I do? It wasn't anything special, and it didn't even get that many responses before falling of the boards. But besides from all the OP is a fag and sage responses, there was one other one. So I email this kid, right? But he said some got pretty big and not all of them looked exactly the same. But over the next week and those that followed, I found that I did get used to them. But either way, as the weeks wore on, I became more and more used to them. But they weren't really doing anything harmful. It was hard to tell over the text, but really, that was the only way to put it. But we started discussing Rister behavior, and he said his were starting to act a bit more differently than the ones I saw. But no one came forward. But I have an inquisitive mind. So I approached the side of the house, noting that the windows were boarded up. It was a low, creaking, gurgling sound. It didn't sound like any fucking animal I knew. So I snuck down the alley, and when I saw what was making the noise, I nearly pissed myself. It was a fat, humongous grister, at least 8 feet wide, completely unable to move, with rolls of fat hanging down over its leg. It had no neck, just 14 chins leading up to its macabre, exposed jaw. It rubbed itself with a pudgy claw, making that groaning, gurgling sound, which seemed almost sexual. It was terrible. But in the presence of the thing, all I felt was a sick revulsion and disgust. But, I kept in mind one thing, that I had been looking for a picture of these things. So I busted out my camera phone and snapped a picture. And they didn't like it. And now I was pretty sure they knew I could see them too. So what did I do? And then things started happening so fast. It was a terrible fucking story, but one of the things one of the survivors said really struck me.
And the gristers had been all over the place. And when I first saw one, I had been reading Creepypasta and pretty freaked out. It was the last time I will ever go out. And out of nowhere, a grister, the size of a normal human, just bent over and walking their weird, lopping gait, slammed into the back of a woman next to me and threw her in front of the bus. And that's when I finally realized why there wasn't anyone I could really talk to about gristers. And eventually, they figured out that you can see them. And they start fucking with you. And I don't think everyone who they kill is driven to suicide. And X, I'm convinced there was nothing special about John and me. It's about 3 in the morning. It sounds like a really big one is outside of my apartment door. It sounds like it's trying to gnaw its way through the wood. And so I'm taking the easy way out. So please, but you've got to stop. And if you don't stop reading, at least please. Finn.
Please what?
Please what?
Wow, that was, I gotta say, like, I was looking for something, like, for something funny and disjointed from this, and all I got was, like, this is just a really, like, succinct, albeit kind of a little bit, like, disjointed paraphrasing of the story.
Pretty much. There were, like, large segments, which I think you just read it verbatim, because there were so many...
It's ends or
buts. So many sentences, one after another, that start with words that they probably shouldn't. Like, it's ends or buts, because there's always better words to use.
Next segue.
Yeah.
Look at that thing roll.
Yeah. That's why Mikey does these little stories that sometimes show up with hilarious results. The one I got early on was, like, it was referring to, like, how dark it was, and then it's, like, it was the cat, and then it was the light shone off of its linoleum. So it's like the cat is made out of linoleum.
Oh, God.
Like, the Warforged cat is what I got out of that, basically.
Nice. All right. Gamer, do we have a grammar in yellow?
A little bit.
Also, while you're doing that, we have some good news I have to share after when we get back, or when we finish recording, that I just found out.
You're gonna like leave me waiting the whole time?
I said we're after the recording.
It's like an hour from now. Fine. I don't know what it is exactly. I don't pretend to know everything that's going on. And in fact, I myself used to be drawn to the more realistic, non-supernatural creepypastas. But well, let me explain. So for me, that's a bit of a run-on because like most of that, except for the "but well, let me explain," is all one sentence.
Fair.
Personally, I would end it with a period in the middle and then connect the last tiny bit of a sentence, which the last sentence is just "but ellipses will let me explain." I would just connect that into the second part of the sentence that you're making. Because also it feels incomplete without it. Also, I feel like saying "I won't pretend" compared to "don't pretend" feels better, since this is the start of the story and Nair is saying that they won't act like they know what's going on.
Yeah.
So
yeah, honestly, for like "I don't pretend" or "I won't pretend," it's like it could go either way for me, honestly. But I get you.
"Don't pretend" sounds like you didn't pretend, but you might pretend that you know what's going on now. But saying "you won't pretend" says like throughout this entire story, I'm not going to pretend that I know what the hell is going on.
Okay. Again, to me, that's like potato. I'm sorry.
One's past tense, one's current tense, basically.
Fair, yeah.
Either way. So the rewriting of that would be, I don't know what it is exactly, and I won't pretend to know everything that's going on. period. In fact, I, myself, used to be drawn to the more realistic non-supernatural creepypastas, but, well, let me explain.
Okay.
Fair. Two sentences instead of one super long one, one super tiny one.
Yeah.
And then this next one. So, you know, I basically freeze for like 10 minutes. I think it should be froze because this is past tense.
Yeah, here's the weird thing. I didn't have a tense talk with this one because the way he writes it, I heard it in my head, like as somebody narrating it to me audibly. It's just like, so I'm here and I'm doing this thing and like it, like that kind of thing where it's like, and it's like, it's not right technically in like writing, but when you hear that, like, it felt like a conversation. It felt like a story being told to me, not so much maybe like in the writing, not so much like me actually reading it.
But, fair, but it's a retelling of past events.
Fair, yes.
That's why I suggested that.
That's fair, yeah. So you have a tense. So you have a tense talk today.
I do, yes. But I'll move on from that. This is at the end of a paragraph. Basically, he goes on saying, but he also told me one other thing. Period. That goes to a new paragraph. That I'd be seeing more of him, of them, and he said that ever since he saw the first one, blah, 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 blah. So, my problem here is, like, I don't like the paragraph break, because it's in the middle of a line of thought.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'd rather the paragraph be a bit bigger than break it up just because of a word count or something, like, per paragraph.
Yeah, like paragraphs don't have to follow like a strict like word count. They can be a little bit longer if needed. But
yeah, it's like it's literally in the middle of a thought and it breaks it.
Yeah.
And then my last one is another bit of a run on here. He said that usually when he saw them or heard them in his own home, he was reading creepypasta, so they usually freaked him out something awful. But he said again, he had never actually seen them do anything terrible, just scurry out of sight. That's all one sentence.
Yep. Wow. So Jesus.
Yeah, so I broke it up in the middle. So it'd be, he said that usually when he saw them or heard them in his own house, he's reading creepypasta, so they usually freaked him out of something awful. Period. He had never actually seen them do anything terrible, just scurry out of sight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit long if you don't break it up. But that's the end of my grammar in yellow.
All right. Well, then, on to actual thoughts. To which, where the cultist felt very seen. and I will dive into that now.
Okay.
If you are one of those people who are inherently drawn to horror, you're in real danger. Damn it. Oh, well. and then the next thing. Anyway, I was up clicking around, looking for a good creepypasta I hadn't read before, really getting myself freaked out. You know the feeling, or you know the feeling, I'm sure. Sorry, I read that really weirdly. You know the feeling, I'm sure. You like the feeling. That's the problem. I'm feeling awfully seen in this story right off the get-go. Like, and you know what's funny? Like, as I was reading the story, like, as we were getting into, like, the meat of it, where, like, the creature, like, and I was kind of getting the idea already, like, before they even brought up at the very end, that the Gristers feed on fear and stuff. There was a moment when I was reading the story where I heard some, like, some house noises behind me as I was reading this in the dark at night. And I looked back, I was like, you know, I say that I'd like to die immersed in creepypasta, but I don't want to die yet.
No, we have recording to do.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll move on to the next thing I have, which is the description that we get of the creatures. It was pale white, pale as a maggot, with dirty gray streaks running along its skin. It moved on all fours with long, thin fingers that grasped the ground. Its skull was completely bald, and it had no eyes. And the skin looked like it had been torn away from the lower half of its face, leaving the exposed teeth and gums. It looked up at me. Well, pointed its face in my general direction. Anyway, and pointed its face in my general direction anyway, and then scurried quickly as fuck up the side of the bath and down into the drain. Yeah, I just really love this description of the creature. Like, it, for me, it really paints a picture of this creature, and it's like something Guillermo del Toro might put in one of his like dark fantasy or dark fairy tale sort of movies and narratives. Like, this kind of brought to mind some of the designs that I've seen for like the creatures in Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, or even in the second Hellboy movie with the tooth fairies, which are just like, they're just teeth, just teeth and like skin and like skin against bone. And like, yeah, so these creatures like really kind of brought to mind. And also like when you go into the troll market in Hellboy 2, it kind of, a lot of the, like this really invoked that, those kind of designs for like creepy fairies or like creepy Vossen perhaps. And that's a nice segue to my next comment and my next quote and comments. He introduced himself as John and basically tells me everything. And basically tells me a very similar story. One night, a few months ago, reading creepypastas, heard a noise, got up, saw the small, pale man. His was a bit bigger. He said it was the size of a cat, but he also told me one other thing, that I'd be seeing more of them. He said that ever since he saw the first one, he's been seeing more and more of them out of everywhere, even in the street during the day. So I really feel like this would fit really well as a creature from creature for a modern Vossen game. I know last year, 2023, was the year of the Vossen. Well, it's bleeding over into 2024.
Of course.
But yeah, so like I could really see myself like statting this creature out as something in Vossen and even use it in modern day Vossen, which is apparently a supplement that somebody did up on DriveThruRPG. So, so yeah, you could use this creature, as even like the first experience with a Vossen that gives the player character their sixth sense or their sight, which is like the weird ability that player characters kind of have to see the supernatural or sense the supernatural, amongst others. Like it's even mentioned, I think actually in my next quote about something similar to like where the character is the only one who sees the thing amidst like, the rest of the population.
Yeah. That's exactly what this is written the same way that Vossen is, like actually one for one.
Yeah. Like this could basically be like the character, you know, like, gamer or, what was it, in, what do they call them? Like your dark, I think it's either your dark secret or something like that. Or like this could honestly be like a character's dark secret is like they saw a Vossen, like they did something and encountered a Vossen or something. Now they're being chased by it or something, or they're being stalked by these little invisible Vossen.
Yeah.
Like that could be one of their dark troubles. But yeah, then the next quote I have is actually tied into that with, I live in Providence, Rhode Island, which is a small city. On my way to work one day, I take the bus. I was looking out the window and saw a pretty large one, as large as a medium-sized dog, trotting around the sidewalk. People were just walking by it. Actually, I think that a lot of people saw it as a dog. One man stopped to scratch its head. So yeah, like basically this creature is using, assuming our narrator isn't just going insane and just like seeing like animals as these creatures.
Mm-hmm.
If this is actually like a supernatural creature that he's seeing, and it's like living, it's like walking out, crawling and walking around in the public, then these creatures have some kind of a glamour they can put on that makes people see them as like something mundane, or like just like makes them disregard them, and only somebody like a Thursday child or somebody with a sight, in Vossen terms, can actually spot the, or can see through the glamour.
Thursday child.
Yeah. It's a term, that's used in Vossen in the actual, like in the core setting for Vossen, as the people who see like creatures. It's like something to do with like a nursery rhyme where like a Thursday child is something that somebody that is cursed. I think I'd have to,
oh, that's like, if you're born on a Thursday, you can see Vossen.
It's, Not too far off, honestly.
Yeah.
It's sort of like similar to like how a Sunday child is blessed. Because it's they're born on a holy day sort of thing. But yeah, I think they're called Thursday children, and that's basically like the, like another name for people who can see who have like the second sight or like the ability to sense the supernatural in the Vossen series or in the lore. Also cool, Providence, Rhode Island, Lovecraft's old stomping grounds. Again, this is kind of fitting more closely to like, this is definitely something a Guillermo del Toro would put into one of his movies or write into a story. who also really loves like fairy folks lore and Lovecraftian horror. So moving on to the next thing I have. Yeah. It was terrible. I know it doesn't sound like it. And objectively, I can think of, I can think that a fat cooing grister rubbing itself might sound pretty funny, actually. But in the presence of the thing, all I felt was a sick revulsion and disgust. I really like how this story kind of addresses something that me and Gamer have often argued about, or at least had like conversations about regarding horror and like creepy events being also silly from a different point of view. Yeah. Like you see sometimes like when we're reading these creepypastas, I see the thing as something creepy and some of that. And you're like, this is, why are you getting creeped out? This is silly. Mm-hmm. And DK, this is a very, yeah, DK mode. Yeah. Like I think DK mode would be horrifying, especially if you like were seeing it in that moment. Yeah. But then you like, because you're through your video game lens, like, no, it's just silly DK mode. So it's interesting that the story kind of has the self-awareness to actually like address that. Like, yes, I know these things may sound silly, like how I'm describing them and so, but believe me, like when you're actually there, it's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
And I can kind of like, that's kind of, I think the difference is like, it's, and first off, like tragedy and comedy are two sides of the same coin. Like basically like creepiness and silliness are just two sides of the same coin. And similarly, like we can laugh at something when we don't, when we're not in that scene, like hell, like people try to like laugh off like horrible things that they experience after the fact, after they've survived the situation as a way of coping. So like, it's a similar thing. It's sort of like the detachment makes it silly. But if you were actually there in that scene, in that shit, you would be fucking terrified. Mm-hmm. And I like how the story actually kind of addresses that a little bit with this comment. So, then the next thing I have here is he said that he'd seen a lot more of the bigger ones hang around his house at night. They watched him through his windows. They knew he could see them and they didn't like it. Something, something, stare into the abyss, something, something, and the abyss stares back at you. Like real, like just kind of like if you see something, once you see something, it can see you and you're and it may not like being able to see you and you may not like that you can see it.
Ignorance is bliss in most cases.
Yeah. Yeah. And that actually touches on something that I'm going to bring up later, is like from that. I think the author of the story, whoever they are, may have had some inspiration by a certain person that I just referenced in an earlier comment.
You mean?
But no. but I'll continue on down my roster of notes and such. So the story does reference that these creatures are, they seem to manifest or they appear to people when you're most terrified. Like when he's reading when him and John were reading creepypastas, that's when they first encountered it. And then the survivors of the rape dungeon, encountered the creatures, they seem to have seen some kind of hallucinations because they were sent to a mental hospital. And like, the character, Nair even asked, like, did they see the gristers? And when I read this part, I was like, oh, cool. They're phobophages, or like feeders of fear. Like they're like, kind of like Pennywise or a phobophage from Dresden Files where they manifest around people, like around instances of like great fear and terror. So I kind of like that. Like, the fear is the mechanism that allows you to see them, but like they also congregate to that those areas because that's what they feed on emotionally. Like, they're emotion vampires, kind of, in a way.
Where the restaurant is.
Hmm?
They're all just going to where the restaurant is. That's where they're feeding. Where all the food is.
Yeah, yeah, basically, yeah. They're going to and that's why, like, because you're in that, because you're also, like, in that catalyst, like, there's some kind of exchange, maybe, like, between, like, them feeding on your fear and, like, then, because, like, they basically open themselves up to, like, feed on your fear, like, you can see through the veil, and then you're kind of just, you can't unsee it. So, again, more fodder for the Vossen idea of this, of just, like, making them phobophages and, like, making that, like, a catalyst, or, like, having, if for a scenario, having victims, like, you have to investigate and, like, and look into the victims of something, and where they were talking about, like, little, like, white people or, like, little pale people scurrying about, and, like, that's where you get those, like, of those scenes where, like, you get more information about the creatures is through the victims.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll move on to the next thing I have here. They were starting to scratch me and bite me in those few scant hours that I actually did nod off to sleep. I'd always freak out and sweep them away, and they'd just hiss at me. So this is, I believe, Nair, like, who's now, like, getting the same kind of treatment that John was getting when they started getting more, like, pervasive and aggressive toward him. And to this, I'm like, how exactly are they getting into his house? Like, I would have assumed that Nair is taking precautions to keep them out. I mean, maybe, like, obviously he probably can't completely seal off his house without, like, you know, dying of suffocation. Like, he can't seal up the vents or whatever. You can't, like, seal the vents or anything like that, which is a way that these creatures have been known to go through. Like, if they can go through the drains, then presumably they can go through the vents. But it just kind of gave me this idea, again, maybe for some game fodder idea, is that maybe the creatures can actually go incorporeal or teleport when someone...
Supernatural creatures.
Yeah.
Like, so being weirded out that they keep getting in the house is the least of your worries.
Well, sometimes creatures, like supernatural creatures, don't have abilities like that. They're just small, so they can get into places and stuff.
Yeah.
But my idea for this, for if I was to make this into a Vossen thing, is I would actually have it as a caveat, is that they can teleport or pass through walls to get into a location, but only if the person is asleep. As long as there's somebody asleep in the next in the room they're trying to get into, they can pass through the walls or teleport to the into that room.
Or only when, like, maybe within radius of someone that's scared.
Yeah. Yeah, that could also be it too. Like, maybe just, like, the fear, or, well, again, like, cause a lot of, like, time when you're sleeping, I actually recently learned this. A lot of our dreams, like, a lot of the dreaming that we do when we're asleep, most of the time they're nightmares. It's just our brain, shields us from most of those dreams. So basically that's why we forget a lot of our dreams, is most of them are nightmares that our brain tells us to forget. And it's just, like, the more potent ones, or the ones where we actually take control in the dream, like, depending on, like, the stage of sleeping you're in, that allows you to, like, not have a nightmare. but yeah, so it's just an idea I came up with, or I had as a result of, like, thinking, is like, how are these creatures exactly getting to this guy's house? But then it's like, yeah, they're supernatural creatures. They could probably just pop in.
Mm.
They don't really have a rhyme or reason.
Plus, there could have been 50 of them that got in before he actually started barricading his house.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It does seem like a situation where, like, they could even be, like, on a layer of reality just parallel to our own. And it's not until, like, they are triggered by the fear response that they become, like, so they're sort of able to, like, kind of phase back in and out from their layer of reality to ours, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'll move on to the next thing I have here. I saw her slide under the wheels of the bus. I saw her blood and ruined organs squeeze out of her mouth like toothpaste. Ew. Apparently this is a Lucio Fulci film now. Watch City of the Living Dead to understand what that means. Otherwise, he's an Italian horror filmmaker from the 70s and 80s who did a lot of practical effects of people just like puking out their own organs.
Nice.
Yeah. And then we move on to the rape dungeon or something connected to it. Read the reports of people who have been in terrible, frightening situations like that rape dungeon or a war. How many of them suffer from hallucinations? Sure, a lot of them are actual hallucinations. Some of them are the Gristers. So I like this. I like that the story plays a little bit with connecting these fear-mongering monsters or creatures with some really heavy, dark stuff, but doesn't lean too far into that as some other materials tend to do, to say it's all the monster's fault for these real world problems and issues. Like, they aren't the cause of those things. They're merely a symptom. Yeah. They take advantage of these situations for sustenance, but it was already happening. It was happening for real reasons, for like real mundane and terrible reasons. Mm-hmm. It wasn't all the monsters. Like there's a couple of franchises and a couple of fictions and stuff like that kind of lean into that, where it's like, oh yeah, World War One the World Wars were all started by vampires, or like this horrible atrocity in human history. Yeah, werewolves. And it's like, that's so fucking like insensitive and disrespectful you can derive things from real history and like creepy shit from like real world stuff and add an element of supernatural, but don't have the supernatural be the thing. Like, even I know it's like in fiction, so that you can do that. You can sometimes do that, but it also just seems, I always kind of have this weird, it's always for me, it's always like a gray area when you do that, because it's like, don't do that. That's a real thing that happened. Like real people
connected to real lives and real families. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Like, again, like if it's a historical event where there is a supernatural creature affiliated, that's fine. But like when you have that supernatural creature be the whole cloth cause of that thing, it just sort of like, it's not a great look. But I'll move on to the next thing. The story using some heavy subjects, like the rape and suicide bits in the story. I don't think they're done too poorly. But it is sometimes hard to judge what's tasteful when addressing these sort of things in fiction. Like, I did notice at the end, like, it was really just kind of constantly referencing the suicide. Yeah. And the rape dungeon thing was like, I mean, it, obviously it's horrible, and saying it's tastefully done is kind of weird.
Yeah, I know what you mean, though.
Yeah,
it's like, not it's like going overboard with it.
Yeah, like he saw it in the news report that what was happening, and kind of drew a conclusion because it was the same house that he had seen the creatures like congregating near. So like he brought that correlation. That's fine. But if it had been gone into detail about like what happened there, like that would have been a little too over the top. And with the suicide stuff, it's just like it referenced it a couple times, and then it kept doing it. I was like, it's fine. It's just, I think it was mentioned too many times, but
a little bit.
Yeah.
It's also weird that Nair basically not witnessed, but knew that John quote unquote killed himself, even though it was possibly the grifters that did it. But then Nair goes ahead and does it too.
I guess like maybe like it is a little convoluted, because like he's saying like maybe the creatures John's brother tells him that he killed him, that John killed himself, and like he found John, and then Nair found out that John had done it like by slitting his wrists in the tub, right? And so like, okay, but then he started going, it's like, well, maybe the creatures covered that up, because they can do that kind of thing, which was an interesting idea of like, oh, it was a cover up by the monster to make it seem like, again, make them have a conspiratorial aspect to it. But then he goes and does basically the same thing that John seemingly did.
Yeah.
By the end, or is insinuating to about to do. And it's just like, so I'm getting mixed signals here.
Yeah, I kind of expected Nair to be like, I'm not going to go out the way John did.
Yeah, like, I would accept it's like, I'm going to, it's like, don't worry, I'm going to go out fighting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you see in the news, like some guy in the buzz, like commit suicide, know that I didn't, I went out fighting, like that kind of thing. Like I would have expected something like that, but like, then he just goes and basically prepares to come kill himself anyway. So it's like, maybe not the best. But I will move on to my last actual thought stuff. Stop reading creepypasta. I know you love it. I know you love frightening yourself, but you've got to stop. Every time you read it, every time you get the feeling of dread in your stomach, you're drawing the gristers to you. And if you don't stop reading, at least please never check out those sounds in the house when you do. Well, isn't this quite the predicament? Don't read creepypasta. Shit. honestly, this ending is very much in line with the classic campfire cautionary spooky tale.
It is like an anti-creepypasta creepypasta as well.
It's sort of like an anti-creepypasta creepypasta, but at the same time, it's also very similar to like the kind of stories that you get from like the Hook at Lover's Lane. Like, don't go up to Lover's Lane or the Hook is going to get you or something like that. Like, don't have premarital sex or Jason's going to fucking kill you. Like, it's that kind of campfire story or that kind of campfire or that kind of tale. And even to a degree, this story to me rang as the author was a fan of Lovecraft specifically. Aside from the fact that references that the character lives in Providence, Rhode Island, like Lovecraft's tromping grounds and birthplace. I can think of at least two stories from Lovecraft off the top of my head where something like this ending actually kind of happens, like in Dagon or Howie's most famous work, The Call of Cthulhu. Both end with the writer slash narrator committing suicide as a last resort to escape what they have experienced or what is after them. And then like at the end of the story, like saying that they're going to commit suicide to avoid this stuff and leaving a warning to not like do what they did, to not search for the sanity destroying truth of the monster or what have you. So, I mean, it is a whole trope and motif in Lovecraftian horror writing. And it, for me, it oozed all over this story. Like the whole, like all the like Lovecraftian horror kind of like was in this story to begin with. Mm-hmm. Like the whole ignorance is bliss in the face of an uncaring, terrifying universe. So all this to say, I kind of like the ending because it kind of harkens back to like classic campfire story stuff and also Lovecraft, but I shall not be heeding the story's warnings. I will continue to read creepypastas and get scary or get scared. Mikey, these stands for evil. What do you have for actual thoughts? You've been awful quiet.
Okay. Well, there's hammering going on, so I muted myself.
Oh, no, they're trying to get in.
All right. So my first actual thought here is okay, X, which I immediately was triggered, and I thought of okay, boomer. Which is it's a meme like of basically a boomer says something that has no relevance to millennials today, and the millennial just says okay, boomer. Like,
okay, yeah, I knew what the meme was, but like, okay, that's interesting that you correlated okay X to okay boomer. Okay, fair enough.
Well, it's just
I'm confused for half a second because I'm like, wait, is this talking about X or the X thread on Reddit?
Oh, yeah, because well, the story
Twitter now. And
yeah, I think the story was probably
branding.
I think
you saw Twitter again.
Yeah,
dead horse. Moving on.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Anyway, and then my next actual thought is the same thing, but slightly different.
So and now for something completely different.
Slightly different, actually.
Yeah. But, well, let me explain. No, there's too much. Let me sum up.
It did just remind me of the scene. It's like, Let me explain. There's no time. The movie will be over by the time. Let me paraphrase. Or let me summarize.
Yeah. Well, that what I just did was I mixed a quote from the story with a quote from The Princess Bride.
God damn it. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
You got the reference, but forgot the reference at the same time.
You understood it. You just didn't understand that he was already saying it.
Yeah, that's
These things happen.
So, my next actual thought here is that either Nair is going crazy, or the Gristers have glamours? That they have in Fable, so it makes them look like rats, dogs, and possibly human. Like the one that pushed the person in front of the bus.
Yeah.
With that in mind, it would be hilarious if the picture that he took of the fat one outside of the house was a crazy cat lady.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Because like it had a fat one with small ones around it.
Yeah. Or like.
And the picture's just of a crazy cat.
Or like, what if like the photo like showed partially like a crazy cat lady? Like basically like the glamour was like only half worked on the camera. Like the camera reveals some of the truth because it's an unbiased observer. But.
Mm.
So see, it shows some of it, but like not all. Or like maybe. He does post it on the forums, but it just looks like a crazy cat lady to everybody except for him and John when they look at the photo. But like everybody else is like, what the hell, man? Like, lol. Looks like he just took a picture of like some horrible like cat lady orgy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'd prefer that because then like it would leave you wondering if it's all just in their heads.
Yeah.
Because everyone else is saying, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gives that.
And then the big one that's trying to get into his house is literally just the landlord.
Yeah.
You haven't paid your rent.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, no. Shit. That makes it so much darker. Fuck. Oh shit! That also means that the guy at the bus stop was an actual was just a piece of shit who like intentionally tried to kill somebody, or just accidentally bumped into that woman so bad that like she fell in front of the bus.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he just saw it as like a malicious grister.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think your reference, like this almost is bringing up to mind that movie we watched, I think last year or the year before, They from Wes Craven, where again, like it's a bunch of people, the characters are like, they think they're seeing like shadow people, but it could also all be in their head, or it might be some weird creatures from like another shadow dimension trying to get them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. Anyway, that was my actual thoughts.
Okay. Gamer.
All right. My first one is just me learning a word. I admonished myself for being such a fucking pussy. I've never heard word before. It's literally just to warn or reprimand.
Yeah.
I kind of assumed what it was based on the context, but I figured to look it up. And then we get into the timing situations here, where this is in regards to Nair freezing, quote-unquote, for like 10 minutes, and then freezing for, quote-unquote, a good 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I assume these are meant to be exaggerations.
Clearly, yeah.
Because, like, I know there's some creepy events happening, but put a 10-minute timer on that, and that's a long time to not do anything.
Yeah, I mean, like... It may have felt like 5-10 minutes, but it was probably like more like a few seconds or like maybe 30 seconds tops.
Hmm.
Like, yeah.
Also, I'd say that this would make a bit more sense if these two times were reversed at least, because as it stands, he got over the shock of seeing the creature in the light in full detail much quicker than just seeing it scurry across in the darkness.
Yeah, did he say he was in shock for 10 minutes when he saw the thing just scurrying in the dark?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then when he saw it in full gory detail, a good 5 minutes and he's good.
Yeah.
So yeah,
he was inoculated from the first bout.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Personally, I'd reverse those and reduce them a bit.
Okay.
A couple of minutes and then a few minutes.
Yeah.
Because if you say a couple and a few, it's a more vague. When you're putting a number on it, you're trying to be more specific.
Yeah.
And then we get to this stuff when he's talking about John. But he also told me one other thing, that I'd be seeing more of them He said that ever since he saw the first one, he'd be seeing more and more out of everywhere, even in the street during the day, blah, 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 blah. So, as much as I want to believe that this John fellow actually saw the same thing, he did just read Nair's entire story on the creature, so he could have easily just wanted to join in on the fun and either help add to the immersion of the story by commenting,
yeah,
or simply wanted to fuck with Nair.
I mean, to be fair, that's how a lot of early creepypastas got started, was somebody posted a photo and a little blurb of a story on the X thread or one very, or like, I think it's unfiction.com, or I think it's called Unfiction Forums or whatever. And that's when people would then start adding to it and stuff like that and making the creepypasta or expanding the story. And like, it's sort of like people are like fucking with the person or they're playing along with the person and stuff. So
Either way, yeah. The validity of John's story and facts is kind of suspect.
Yeah.
Then after basically hearing that stuff from John, he said, I didn't sleep that night. Or over the next week, and those that followed, I found that I did get used to them. So for me reading that, I was like, that was quick. I was kind of expecting a scene where Nair saw another one. Because like, we didn't get that scene where he saw the second one. He saw the first one and then it just glazes over. Oh yeah, I saw a bunch of them. I got used to them.
Yeah.
But like, and like, I was expecting a scene where Nair saw the second one to validate what he saw the first time and validate what John said. And that's why he couldn't sleep again, but it's just glossed over.
Yeah, it is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. And then a little bit later on, actually a lot later on, I think, I kept in mind one thing, that I had been looking for a picture of these things, so I busted out my camera phone and snapped a picture. I wish I hadn't. If I hadn't, I think I may have lasted a little longer. As soon as I read that, I'm like, lasted longer? Are you dead?
You're writing this. I mean, he is going to be dead, like, because he's writing this. This is basically technically his suicide note.
Yeah, I guess it is. Like, was he writing this all in that last, like, few minutes?
Yeah, he's basically pulling a Dagon where like the character writes up the entirety of the story up to the point where he's about to jump out the window to escape the monster trying to get into his house.
And then my last one says, I stopped sleeping, didn't want to wake up to those things staring at me. I stopped eating too. Why? I get why you wouldn't want to sleep, but why not eat anymore? They're not stopping you from eating.
Yeah, give us a reason. Like, are they trying? Do you notice like one of them like trying to poison your food or something? Like, give us a reason why you're doing
a box of shreddies and one of them jumps out at you. Like,
like, surprise.
Yeah, there's like no reason that he should stop eating.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It is odd.
It was sort of mentioned at one point that like, he doesn't go out anymore because like, he doesn't want to go to the grocery store and all that.
So he's just
want to go outside to see them. But it's not because he doesn't want to eat. It's because he doesn't want to see those. But he could still eat the food that's in his house, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Or
it's
maybe
not
and
that
then
he ran out of food. It's he decided to stop eating for reasons.
Yeah, or at the very least, like bring that up. It's like, I've ran out of food, but I can't bring myself to go outside. I've stopped eating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would help it for sure. But that's the end of my notes, really.
Okay. So on to final thoughts then. So here's why I gave this a conditional recommendation. Because I would recommend this story. Because I thought it could... I would recommend the story, though it could use some editing, obviously, based off of our notes here. And this is why I would do conditional, because I'd use some judgment on who I recommend it to based off of the subject matter we get at the end with the suicide stuff. Because some people don't it's a horror story. It's going to be dark by the end. Like, the endings are usually going to be bad ends or dark endings, but not everybody's here for that, even in horror stories and stuff. So I would be cautious who I recommend the story to. That all said, though, like, I do really like the core concepts of this story, and even the writing, as much as it could use a round of editing, it's not bad. And the story that's here is a fun little tale of, like, don't read creepypastas, or don't read scary shit, or the gristers will come. Like, it's fun. Like, I like it. So that's why I'm giving this a conditional recommendation. Mikey, he stands for evil.
Well, it's fun and all, but now every time we read creepypasta, we risk seeing these gristers. So, so the fact
scared of the creepypastas. When's the last time you scared of a creepypasta that we've read?
There's been a couple in like the last few years, but like nothing. But like, but mostly just because like when I'm reading it and like the just like the circumstances. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, oh, most of the time I'm not like, I get like a chill, or I get like, it's not so, it's, I get a thrill, but it's,
well, yeah, I wasn't referring to you specifically, oh, Cultus, sorry, because I sorry. Know you get scared half the time. I met Mikey and myself, we often don't.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you guys are cold stone.
Safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, starting next week, it'll be the Mikey show.
Yeah. Quick aside, isn't that just the Al Dente Revelations show that you guys stopped doing on our Patreon?
Oh, I was there too.
You were there too, yeah. Oh, are you? Are, is he? Is Mikey going with like it's just Mikey? Okay, interesting.
I mean, I wasn't scared of this one, honestly.
No, neither. I mean, well,
yeah.
Neither was I. As I have that remember that that moment where I heard something behind me in the dark, mm-hmm. and looked back.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. You're not scared of this one, but next week's story might scare you, and because it's a creepypasta, the gristers will show up.
That's I mean, true. It is Sonic.exe2, the remake.
Sorry, so scary.
The scariest.
It's not actually. Is it?
I guess you'll have to find out next week, gamer, what we're doing.
How dare
you. But basically, the fact that you can be potentially infected by this story, by knowing what they look like, means that you might end up seeing them if you get scared of creepypasta.
Yeah.
Means I really don't recommend people reading this, because then they might know.
In the fiction.
You could die by reading this.
In the fiction of the story. Yeah, no. Don't read it. Mm-hmm. Stick to the romance and comedies you're used to.
Yeah.
Don't go chasing horror movies. That was a really weird stretch for that bit. Like, trying to combine, like, don't go chasing waterfalls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so no recommendation both in fiction and out of fiction?
Yes.
Fair enough. And gamer?
For me, it read relatively okay. Like, yeah, there were some typos and run-ons and stuff, but that's just par for the course of creepypastas. I did feel that it's weird that it's a creepypasta that doesn't want people to read creepypastas. It's weird.
Is it a troll pasta, technically?
Maybe just based on that.
Like, based on the...
It's probably not intentionally meant to be a troll pasta, but...
I mean, who's to say?
If you are a creepypasta that doesn't want you to read creepypastas, yes.
I mean, again, like, yeah, like, it's... We've also, like, we've read creepypastas like this before, where, like, they tell us not to read any more creepypastas, or don't do something that the story is doing, or something like that. So it's like...
Yeah, but that's the difference. If it's saying, like, don't go out in the woods after midnight, blah, 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 okay, I get that, but it's telling you not to do what you're currently doing.
Yeah, because though that in itself is sort of a play on the horror or like a fear angle, or like it's trying to ramp up the tension with that, because it's like, oh, you're doing something that's telling you not to do. It's forbidden. It's
yes, creepy. But also the character in there that is warning you about all this is also putting you in danger of all this.
Yeah.
The safest way that the character could have protected people from these creatures is to not write this story at all.
Yeah. which is unfortunate. Well, because like the story itself, I mean, like you also said, like the story for most people might be that creepy, but it's also a warning. It's like, don't read other creepypastas that you might get scared of, or don't consume horror fiction or don't experience things that will make you really fearful, because otherwise you'll attract these creatures to you.
Mm.
So like, it's not just creepypastas that it's telling you not to do. It's just like, don't consume horror media at all. But, to which I say, I'll take my chances.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
But in regards to this being like a looming threat that's like across a whole bunch of different types of media, and there's not really much you can do about it, I like that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Like, and I like that they're not just, it shows up as a spooky creature that kills you immediately. Like, I like that they're more passive at the start of it, and then it only gets worse, like when you make it worse, kind of deal.
Yeah, like you
just live with it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's, again, this is one of the reason why I kind of like brought this into Vossen. It's like, honestly, like most fairy creatures, they start off passive, and it's not until somebody like starts messing with them, or like you, or unless they just like there's a heel turn, that's when things get bad. But it's usually the person kind of digging too deep, or getting, or kind of putting themselves into danger is usually the reason for it. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's what I basically said. Partial, because there's aspects I like about it, but there's aspects I don't like about it because it's weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the main character doing exactly what John did instead of learning from that mistake.
Yeah,
then me questioning whether or not John was actually seeing these things at all, and could have just been fucking with Nair the whole time. Like, even in regards to the suicide thing, like that could just all be lies.
Yeah, like
he doesn't know this person from Adam.
Yeah, like, he only knows, he's only getting emails. He hasn't seen John, so he doesn't know that it could just be John's, like, John's brother could have just been John fucking with him. This could also, oh my god, this could, like, horribly, this could be, like, a story about cyberbullying.
Yeah.
Or, like, like somebody, like, pushing somebody to suicide. Which is terrible and scary and creepy in a real world way.
Yes.
With the trappings of this supernatural element just being, like, there as sort of like a subtle, like, you have to read between the lines. It's more of like you have to read between the lines to actually get the true part of the story, where it's actually all in, it's all real. Or it's all real horror, not a supernatural horror.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's something that kind of bugged me about it, that all the quote-unquote facts aren't very, there's not a lot of validity in them, because it could just all be a joke or people just joining in on the fun. So it's hard to fully get immersed and believe it, because half the time I was wondering if he was just being bullied the whole time.
When you do stuff, when you post stuff on Xthread or on 4chan in general, you better have a thick skin and you better like be prepared for that kind of stuff. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. But as I said, the story that it was telling, it reads well enough. Mm-hmm. And if you just follow the story and enjoy it, then you'll like it. So I'll still give a partial, just because for some people they might not be into it for the rape dungeon references and the suicide stuff. Like, I'm basically giving a conditional recommendation as well for those purposes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically if you're here for a weird, creepy supernatural creature, that's fine. But like, if you don't like suicide and like the heavier, darker stuff, maybe don't check this out. Yeah.
If you think about it too much, you might not like it either. It'd be better just kind of read it face value.
Yeah.
because I was trying to think of the other aspects of if it was real or not, and that kind of ruined it for me. But yeah.
Okay. So I guess one non-recommendation and two conditional, bordering on a partial. Okay. Well, that'll be this week's episode. So if you like what you heard, or if you didn't, leave us a comment in the comment section below where this gets posted. We're also all on Twitter. Mikey is at the E Stands for Evil. The Gamer Nail is at the Gamer Nail, but without that W at the end, because his name is very long.
It is.
And I'm at Review Cultist. I'm also on Blue Sky, so you can check me out there at Review Cultist. If you want to send us emails, you can go to aldenterigamortis@gmail.com. That's aldenterigamortis@gmail.com. We can also leave us suggestions for other creepypastas, SCPs, spooky things. You creep it, we'll peep it. Yeah! And if you'd like to help support our show financially, you can go to Patreon. Select the backer tier you'd like to support us at. We have $2 and $5 tier with special episodes, early access, extra content. To our patrons that are helping support the show, thank you immensely for helping keep those hosting bills at bay. And as always, we very much appreciate that. And to our listeners and the authors of these stories, thank you immensely. Because without your listenership, it'd be like screaming into the void. And without your authorship, without these stories that you post online and share into the greater internet ethos, we really wouldn't have much of a show because we'd have nothing to talk about. So thank you. Until next time, I have been your host, Review Cultist. Mikey, you're muted.
I'm muted. The M stands for Mikey.
And I'm the Gamer in Yellow.
And this has been Al Dente Rigamortis. Sleep well.